Hey, real quick, did you say Blossom?
Yeah, because I think that's where that started from, right?
But, no. Yeah. I love how two black men talk about Blossom. Like, listen. I love Blossom.
Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. We focus on the real journey to being 1% better every damn day. It's about damn time, Jared Damn in the building. And y'all, I feel like this episode right here is like, you know how back in the 80s they had that on a very special episode of Blossom? I feel like that's what this episode is, but you know, we'll see how this goes. I am here with my friend, multi-time podcast award winner. Last count was at 25. You might have snuck some few in while I wasn't looking, so I don't know. That's why we gonna say multi. Dominic Lawson, what's going on, my man? How's it going?
I am living a dream, brother, but also at the same time, just like on kind of full grind mode a little bit. You know, yeah. You're catching me at a moment where we're a month out from the new show, which I imagine we're going to kind of talk about a little bit. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Excited, nervous, all the things, but I'm feeling good. And so it's just 24, by the way. I ain't snuck in. I tried to get you another one in Chicago. It didn't work out that way, but okay. You know, it is what it is.
It's coming.
I know. Hey, real quick, did you say Blossom?
Yeah, because I think that's where that started from, right? The very special episode?
No. Yeah. I love how two black men talk about Blossom. Like, listen. I love Blossom.
Look, listen. That was my show. I'm not going to lie. That was my show.
You know. No, whoa. Like the little, exactly right, and the theme song start yeah. Oh, you're fussing, stop, you know, however it went, right? And so I was like, I'm here for two black men and a black boy joy talking about Blossom.
Hey, I love it. See, this is what I'm talking about. That's a clip right there. That is a clip. Expect to see that online soon. But no, So you know, at the time of recording, you about a month out. You are taking on a new project, mental health. Mm-hmm. Rewritten, and I thought since you're working on mental health, and when this comes out, it'll be Mental Health Awareness Month. I was like, hey, you mm-hmm. know, the tie in to your show. You know, you see the marketing going on, listen, and everything.
You gotta be on some strategy these days.
That's what I'm saying, man.
That's what I'm saying. Be on that strategy and intentionality for sure.
Yeah. So I thought, especially considering the week that I have just had, we kind of talked about a little bit off mic. Yeah. It's a good time to sit there and talk about, you know. It's about damn time that we sit there and talk about why we feel like 100%. We gotta be so damn strong. So, I know that you, before this podcast, you have been in that mental health advocacy and you know, space. I don't really remember how you got there. So, talk to me a little bit about that. Like, how did you get involved in that?
So basically, when I was starting, you know, doing my podcasting thing back in 2016, I had kind of built up a following with the startup life and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's when a behavioral health company reached out and said, hey, we see the work you're doing, this, that, and the other. It's going to be a bit of a shift, but would you be willing to take over for our person who's leaving to go to NPR to do, you know, our behavioral health podcast? And I was like, hey, y'all paying checks? Y'all issuing checks? You issuing checks, then yeah, let's do it. And so, Jared, really, man, like, you know, I had always had a special place in my heart for, you know, people in recovery and people who have, you know, shared their stories of addiction and trauma and childhood trauma and all the things in between, right? But when I got that call at the Meadows, it really turned into something much more. That place in my heart got a little bigger. Yeah. Right. And so it felt like, you know, another way that podcasting can be used to serve. Right. So when I was doing the startup life and the business show, you know, and COVID happened and people weren't working and businesses were kind of shutting down and stuff like that, I saw the startup life as a way to serve. And so when this happened as well, the mental health was coming towards the forefront of the societal zeitgeist and stuff like that, because you know, depression and anxiety and being cooped up in the house all the time, it felt like another way to serve. And so Meadows Behavioral Healthcare, who I am deeply indebted to for this work, they put your boy on, basically, right? And so in those 3 years, I learned a lot about mental health, behavioral health, the different type of diagnoses and things of that nature. And then when the Meadows were kind of doing some restructuring, you know, I got restructured out, right? So, you know, it happens, right? But the thing is like I kept a really great relationship with them, right? And that's why this weekend I'm going to speak at their event, right? So like, you know, even though they didn't have a role for me anymore, we still are on good terms and I still do work for them from time to time. Yeah. So I'll be doing that this weekend in Chicago. But that's kind of where it started, right? And so honestly, man, when I first started in the behavioral health space, I didn't know much about it. Like I knew stuff out from the, you know, from the outside looking in, from the periphery, right, but not necessarily from the nuts and bolts of it, if you will, right? And so one of the first things I did when I first started working at the Meadows was I started going to like AA meetings and group meetings and sitting in on sessions just so I could understand not just, you know, who we're serving, who we're talking about and stuff like that, but also I can learn the language, like recovery, like, you know, addiction and what that really means, right? Like I think sometimes addiction and trauma gets thrown around a little loosely, right?
Absolutely.
You know, as it relates to mental health and on, you know, on podcast and social media and stuff like that. Narcissism as well. Narcissism gets thrown
out. Oh, that one for sure. Yeah.
As well, right? And so I really took this opportunity to learn, to like shut up and learn, right? And in doing so, it allowed me to, it informed my work so much. But Jared, I'll give you one quick story, because, you know, that really solidified, like, no, this work is important. I remember being on Clubhouse. You remember Clubhouse back in the day? Yeah. Everybody was in the club, you know, during
the pandemic. High three or four of us stretch, everybody was in the club.
Everybody was in the club, right? You know, but I remember being in some recovery rooms, right? And I remember it was like late at night, and a person came into this recovery room, and Jay, man, they was going through it. They was going through it. They had been in recovery in active recovery, I want to say like 3 or 4 years or something like that. And they're bawling. Cause like, I think something had happened. Like either somebody had a family member had told them off or somebody got hurt or something like that. And they really felt that struggle. Like I'm about to pick up a bottle.
Yeah.
I'm about to pick up, you know, some pills or something like that, right? And it was at that moment, it's like, that's the part about recovery I don't know gets talked about enough. Because I think a lot of times people have this arc, right? They have this narrative arc of what it looks like. I was good, then I wasn't good. I took substances. I took substances and hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I got help.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in recovery. Now I'm cured. Mm-hmm. And now we just walking down the golden brick, you know, the golden brick lane of life, and we skedaddling and skipping and hopping and jumping all the way to the rainbow.
I blame VH1 for that. I blame VH1 Behind the Music for that, because that's what we saw, and so that's what we figured. That's what you're supposed to do. So once we hit that recovery, everything is great. But,
right, it's sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns, and I think that was the moment when that happened. I was like, no, that's not how this works.
Right.
That is not how this works. Recovery is an everyday struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It is an everyday struggle that you have to choose yourself to be in recovery every single day of every single minute of every single hour and all the things, whatever cliche phrasing you want to use. Right. And so when I heard that interaction and I heard the moderator was kind of walking them through it and stuff like that, because I think they were like a recovery coach, not exactly like a clinician, like a psychiatrist, anything like that, but they were like a recovery coach and they had been in recovery for 10 years at that point. That's when I knew like, oh no, we need to create a platform And I'm not saying there's none out there right now, but we need to create an additional platform that shows that, like, listen, this thing, like, you don't just have it licked once you go to treatment. Like, that's not how this works. No. You don't just have it licked once you start seeing a therapist, right? It's like you, that's where you learn the different modalities and activities to walk yourself through certain things. Mm-hmm. But eventually, after 45 days or 60 days, depending on the treatment facility, you're going to leave treatment.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to leave the therapist's office. Mm-hmm. And it is at that moment where it's crunch time.
Yeah.
It's crunch time to where you have to work that recovery every single day.
Every day.
And so that's why, you know, when, and I think I made a post about it on social media, when I left, you know, and I announced on LinkedIn, like, I'm no longer with the Meadows and stuff like that. But I said, the work continues.
Yeah.
Because the work continues, because I was so affected by the stories I was hearing, the stories I was helping to tell, right? And I was like, there's so many more stories out there. And so that's what kind of led me to being in behavioral health and being entrenched in it and in the work I'm doing now.
Yeah. No, the work continues is definitely something that resonates with me, because as a person who suffers with depression and anxiety, and I tell people that all the time. They're like, "Oh, you know, I know you suffer from that, and you know, I know you thought about killing yourself and everything, but you're good now." Every day is work. Like, so every day, it sits with me. There's not one day that goes by that I don't sit there and ask myself, why am I still here, and what am I going to do about it now?
Absolutely.
When I'm good, when I'm taking care of myself, when I'm taking my supplements, when I'm going out for walks, when I'm doing pushups and all this other stuff, and my stress is low, maybe it's a fleeting moment, so it'll happen just like that.
Right.
But if I'm in a bad way, that shit lingers. It stays right there.
Listen.
And then you gotta fight that shit. Right. And so like, that work continues. That's so big, because I think we lean in on, oh, the rehabilitation, and we lean in on, okay, I got that therapist. But when I'm seeing my therapist regularly, oh, that hour, oh, Jerry, good, good. But when I walk outside and now I'm like, shit, I gotta do the rest of this, you know, this shit by myself. That's when the work starts.
And I often equate it to, I call it outrunning the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like, when, for the most part, you're like miles and miles ahead of the wolf, right? Yeah. Like miles and miles, right? You know, and sometimes you have an ally in the form of the therapist, in the form of whatever, right? And you're outrunning the wolf by yourself when you're doing the push-ups and the exercises and taking the supplements and doing the breathing exercises, getting enough sleep and all those things, right? You know, but there are times where the wolf creeps up on you, right? And it is at that moment you got to put the keys in between your fingers and fight it, right? Like fisticuffs, right? Yeah. And sometimes you may have a bow and arrow, maybe you have a rifle, right? But sometimes that wolf keeps coming, keeps charging.
Yeah.
And then at that point, like, you got to battle the wolf. And so when you hear Jared, and I have these conversations with people in recovery, when you hear the despair, that's when it gets to you, because that's when you feel like, oh my goodness, like, depression and anxiety ain't just words on a piece of paper.
No, it's not.
It ain't just a diagnosis in the book of the DSM or the ICD. Like, it's a real human experience that often sometimes turns bad, tragic.
Yeah.
When you talked about suicidal ideation earlier and stuff like that. Like, it's a constant everyday thing. And it's like, I believe with all of my heart that through podcasting, you can fight through that isolation. Like, I want to be that platform, or have that platform that helps you fight the wolf.
Yeah.
To let you know that, like, I understand that you're by yourself and I understand the isolation, but I guarantee you are not in this fight alone. And not only are you not in this fight alone, there are these previous examples, tons of them. Because a lot of times, and I don't have to tell you this, Jared, a lot of times people feel like, oh, nobody will get it. Nobody understands
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Nobody, yeah. I, you know, and the thing is like, you know, I can get a burger from McDonald's and I can get a burger from Burger King, but it's still a burger, even if it looks different. That's how depression
yeah.
works.
Yeah.
It may look like I was just, you know, chopping it up and laughing at whatever a few hours ago. But there's these moments where it creeps in.
Yeah.
And so to be able to create a platform of, you know, podcasting and talk about behavioral health and to have this understanding of what's going on, if we could do that through podcasting, then sign me up. And that's why I said the work continues, no matter if I'm at the Meadows or not.
Yeah. It does creep up on you. Yeah, you're right. That wolf be woofing. And then, you know, as you're talking, I'm tearing up thinking about it because the wolf is whooping right now. So you like when you saying like, yo, get your keys out and put it between your
fingers, man. Because like sometimes that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Because like I said, sometimes you got the bow and arrow. Sometimes you got the rifle. Sometimes you may have a knife. But sometimes you may just have the keys, or sometimes you may not even have that.
Yeah,
like it's straight.
I think I have semi-long fingernails at this point. That's right. That's what I'm fighting right. with
like,
right now. You know,
like it would be very convenient to have the adamantium claws at that moment, right? Like it'd be extremely convenient, but they don't always come out. They don't.
I think the main thing for me is like when you said like, where we're talking about people. You feel like people just don't get it. In the McDonald's and Burger King comparison can steal a burger. It's really weird because there's sometimes I feel like I'm at a point where people get it, but they just don't get it. And I think that comes with the fact that if you have painted the picture that you are the epitome of strength, right, for others, and that. Oh, you know, Jerry going through it, but you know, he all right. You know, he posted on social media. Oh, I see them clips coming out. Oh, you know, he right. still got podcast episodes coming out. You know, I can call him and he's still cracking jokes and he's jovial and he's giving me advice and he's giving me these scenarios and tips and tricks and things of that nature. But when there's like 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 people that didn't hit you up in a week and your tank is running low and you still got your own shit to deal with. Like it's like when they call back and you like, I ain't got it. So maybe I'm isolating. Maybe I just need some ice cream sandwiches and to rewatch The Blacklist.
Listen. Or, you know, or maybe you need them PlayStation clinical hours is what I call them.
Because
again, it's like that is why it is so important to have those boundaries in place. That's why it's so important to be like you said, and kudos for you for saying like I ain't got it today. I do not have it today. That is not. You know, and that's not indicative of who you are or what you did. It's just that me, Jared, I ain't got it today.
Yeah.
And it is so powerful for a person to say that, right? It's scary. I'm not even going to sit up here and lie, especially when you are a decent person, which you are, Jared, right? Especially when you're a decent person, because you want to be known as the person they can come to if they need something. You want to be known as this empathetic person to understand that, like, I understand this person needs help and I got the tool. I got the right tool. I got the perfect tool.
Yeah.
They need a five by eight wrench. I am the 5x8 wrench. Right. I am the perfect person, but I ain't got it today. I just don't. And I think having those boundaries in place not only protects you, but also lets you know, depending on how they react, who that type of person is, right?
Because
because some people be like, oh, Jared ain't never done that to me. Like, ma'am, sir, I got receipts. What is you saying?
the fuck?
So, you know, and so sometimes yeah. that, you know, that might be a situation where, you know, maybe that circle needs to decrease a little bit. Yeah. Maybe that circle needs to get a little smaller, right? The thing is about anxiety and depression, and it was explained to me by a clinician, that sometimes it really serves as that check engine light. Mm-hmm. It really is this tool to be like, wait a minute, I'm feeling something here. I'm feeling something.
Right.
And so that's that check engine light coming on. So what do you do when you get the check engine light? You take that bad boy to O'Reilly or AutoZone or whatever. You can bleep this out because they ain't paying you no checks. But you take it to the service people to go to get that check engine light checked, right?
Yeah.
To see what's going on. And then you diagnose it. So we know exactly what it is. Oh, it's just a sensor. Let me go grab this sensor. In the sense of, let me go knock out a few push-ups.
Yeah.
Let me go sit in the sun for a minute. Let me go walk, yeah. you know, in amongst nature and hear the birds for a little bit. So
yeah.
sometimes, like I said, that anxiety and depression really is that check engine light to just, let's check in with ourselves today.
Yeah. And I don't think we do enough checking. I think because we're always feeling like we gotta be strong. And I can't speak for any other segment of the population, but I can speak from a Black male perspective. Why do you feel like we always have to be the strong one?
I mean, it's familial, it's societal, it's internal. Because when you grow up in the Black community, right, oftentimes your worth is predicated upon what you bring to the table. And I'll use that language because when we see these podcasts out here, yeah. right, that's the language we hear, right? What you bring to the table, right?
Yeah.
And what it makes and what that does, it devoids the humanness of the Black man. It allows you to see this person as a productivity tool than as a human being who needs to be replenished and loved and nourished and all those things, right? And then there's the societal piece, right? Where, you know, grind, 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 hustle, 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 grind, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. And let's be honest, like it's intoxicating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It yeah. really is. Right. You know, because one of the things that we're often tasked with is like being able to provide for your family and have things for your family and stuff like that. And for yourself and this and the other. Right. And so it's definitely societal. But both of those lead to the internal. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the thoughts, the imposter syndrome, the am I doing enough? Right. You know, the people saying, you know, Jaren, they never helped me. Well, maybe I didn't help them enough.
Right.
Maybe I didn't go far enough. Maybe I didn't do those 12 things I thought I did. I mean, I see the checklist that I did for them right here in my face, but maybe I didn't.
Right.
Right. And so the thing is, like, then you start to get gaslit as if you didn't do nothing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so it really is those three phases that like lead to, you know, us, you know, not just the mental part, but leads to that physical part, the hypertension, the stress and the aches of the body and this and the other. Because one of the things Dr. Bessel van der Kolk tells us is that when it relates to trauma is that the body keeps the score. Just because you have these mental health challenges and stuff like that, that don't mean they just stay in the brain.
Right.
Right. You know, so it's just one of those things where it's like, it's those three phases. It's internal, it's societal, and it's familial. And so that's why we have to understand that, one, it is okay to feel feelings, right? And I often equate it to how, you know, when we were growing up and stuff like that, you know, no, shut, hush up all that crying. You a man, be a man, blah, blah, blah. Right, be right. a man, right? Right? And what that also does is it allows us to have these limited scope of feelings that we can draw from. Mm-hmm. Right. I remember going to therapy and the lady gave me a feelings wheel. And Jared, it was so many things on that thing. I was like, the hell is all this? The hell is all, what do you mean? Like, frustrated and anger, that ain't the same thing.
Right.
It's
right.
Like a lot of times as men, I equate it to the Crayola box. Remember the Crayola box as a kid where you had like the 8 box, the 16 box, the 32 box, and the 64 box? I think that men oftentimes only have the 8 box.
Yeah. That's a great analogy. That is a great analogy.
We only have
analogy.
The 8 box. And I think a lot of times, you know, women often have the 64 box or the 32 box because while we like to pawn them off as being emotional and stuff like that, let me be clear, both sexes are emotional.
Absolutely.
For some reason, society has allowed them to explore those emotions a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
To say that, like, you know, I feel this way, I feel that way. And I think we as men have to be able to understand that, like, we have other emotions too.
Yeah.
It's just that we don't have the language to describe it.
Right.
We don't often have the language to describe it, right? But that's the thing about knowing what the issue is. Once you know what the issue is, now we can go figure out how to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Once we know that, like, okay, I ain't got nothing but the 8 box. Let me go to therapy so I can get the 16 box.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me continue to go to therapy so I can get the 32 box. Mm-hmm. Let me continue to go to therapy and do all these other modalities so I can get the 64 box. Yeah. And then I can get the 128 box. And then I get the 128 box with the sharpener in the back, right? And so it's like, I'm serious though, but right?
No,
like,
it's real talk. It's real talk. I didn't know there was a macaroni and cheese color. You know what I mean? I didn't know that emotion.
I knew yellow. I knew black. I knew white. I knew, like, what do you mean fuchsia? What do you mean rose gold? What are you talking about, plum? That's fucking purple. What are you talking about? That's not plum. That's purple, right? And
right.
Then you come to find out there's 8 different shades of purple.
Unbelievable.
And you was feeling those things.
Yeah.
You were feeling those things. You was feeling all different shades of 8 shades of purple, but you didn't know what to call it. You didn't know which one it was, right? Was it royal purple or blue purple or plum? Or eggplant, or whatever the case may be, right? And so I think while as men, we don't often have this language to express those things, we need to, even if we have to force it, even if society is not going to allow us to explore that, even if we have to force it, we need to seek that out. And once we know, we need to do the work and do those exercises and stuff like that. And I'm not going to sit up here and say that I'm the reformed man. I'm still working on it, right?
As am I.
Right. Yeah. But what I am saying is that, like, as you know, it's incumbent upon ourselves to figure it out. But it's definitely once you know what it is, now the onus is on us. Now we definitely have to go do that work to understand those different shades of blue and black and purple and all the things.
But that's almost a lot of that's like a lot of pressure, though. So if you're saying familial, societal, and internal. Mm-hmm. And you flip the switch where you actually did the work to sit there and say, okay, internally, I know that I gotta get more of the crayons. Let's keep using the crayon example. Yeah. I know I need to get more crayons, right? But society and my family, the family that's right there beside me, who I'm talking to about, that knows about 80% to 90% of the shit that's going on with me, mm-hmm. in society, which if I, let's say go to a podcast conference and have big wigs in there and just start crying. so society is looking like, might look like, why is this dude crying? So how do you fight 2/3 of that equation? Because if you just had that realization and you may not feel like you're strong enough in that regard, how do you fight familial and societal pressures?
I think you have to have the same energy that we take when it comes to hustle, 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 grind, grind, grind.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to have that same energy when it comes to what's going on between your ears. Because the cavalry's not coming.
Right.
And I heard Mel Robbins talk about that. The cavalry ain't coming.
Yeah.
It's not. I know it would be storybook to feel like it is. In the form of a new job, money, promotion, spouse, kids, Those things are nice. They're awesome. But at the end of the day, that ain't the Calvary.
Yeah.
Because it ain't coming.
No.
So I think you really have to take a fuck it mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm not sitting up here saying that, like, fuck your family, fuck society, this, that, the other.
Right, right, right.
But in that moment, fuck them.
Right.
Because, again, and we talked about this offline just now, you got to put your oxygen mask on first before you put somebody else's on. Mm-hmm. You just do. Otherwise, you both going to die.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's what it takes. I think you have to have that same energy that we take into that hustle culture and grind culture or whatever you want to call it and put that towards our mental health.
Yeah. Yeah.
And set those boundaries and have those hard conversations and be willing to, you know, say, listen, I appreciate who you are and who you have been in this season. But Jared or Dominic is becoming something different, something more. And I think in your current iteration, you do not fit this new season. So no hard feelings, no hard feelings. But I think this is where I get off at. I think this is my stop.
That's a wild conversation to have, right?
It is. But at that same time, though, Jay, it's like that person at that time, now the onus is on them. Yeah. Now they have a choice.
Yeah.
Is Jay important enough for me to understand those boundaries and respect those boundaries, right? To shift with them, or I'm just going to be on my shit and just be like, fuck Jared, he ain't never done nothing to me, blah, 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 right. This, that, and the other. And then you let them go. You Thanos snapped them out your life. Listen, sometimes you got to do that. And I'm not an advocate of like just cutting people off.
Yeah.
What I am an advocate of is protecting your peace. What I am an advocate of is like when people don't fit who you're trying to become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Thanos because that's what I thought about when you talked about the Calvary. I kept thinking everybody's expecting on your left and that portal to open right. up.
Listen. I wish there was like Avengers Assemble. I wish it was.
Yeah.
But honestly though, Jay, like, and one of the things I've learned from the people I've talked to and the stories that I help them tell is that like oftentimes that's a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
because once the Calvary comes, you're always going to expect the Calvary. And I'm not sitting up here and say, don't accept help. Mm-hmm. Right. Because that's another thing in that hustle culture piece. We got to, oh no, it ain't the same if I don't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you got to, no, I did this, but asterisk. Yeah. Right. And so I'm not saying don't accept help. What I am saying is that like, there's a part of this work we have to do ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Because one of the things I've learned about people in recovery, like they work their recovery every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's like, and they would tell their spouse, like, listen, this is who I have to become, which means that like no more alcohol in the house,
mm-hmm.
no more of this in the house. When I feel a bit of a flare up of anxiety or depression, this is what I need to do.
Mm.
Right. And so again, once you say that and have those conversations, the onus is on that person, right? Do they adjust or do they get on down? So choices are theirs.
When I'm hearing you say that, I am realizing, well, I've always known this before, but I'm realizing.
Just a reminder that
I am the problem. So in this sense where we're like, okay, the Calvary's not coming, you know, and you have to sit there and do that work. I have considered myself the Calvary to so many people, right? And so as I'm the Calvary where these people have started to become reliant. They're not doing the work themselves anymore. They're like, okay, Jared is going to make me feel better. I'm going to have a conversation with Jared. Jared is going to sit there, let me hear. He gonna hear all this stuff. He'll sit there and talk to me about it. He'll give me a plan. He'll give me some some tough love. He'll tell me he love you, and he'll see you on the way.
Right.
And I literally have people in my life that are on lives bringing me up saying, hey, this is my therapist. I am not a trained therapist. I am not a therapist. And where is my copay? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Man, listen, right. Right. I need to send you a bill or something.
Not, like something.
Right.
Maybe some crawfish or something. But but I'm at a point now where because I feel like I'm the Calvary, and now I'm the Calvary for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 people. Right. Now I'm not even expecting it because again, I feel like I got to do everything on my own. I'm a black man, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm not even expecting the help. And if they offer the help, I'm probably going to say no. If they do give me the help, I'm probably going to be like uneasy about it. And then it's like a fit like how I want it to fit.
Yeah.
And I'm not working for my, and so now I'm depleted because I have decided to be the Calvary. So I'm enabling people. I'm not helping them in their process because they got to start doing work for themselves. And now mm-hmm. I have no fucking energy whatsoever. So there I can't is. Do the work for me.
Correct.
I'm the problem. Leave it to you to always sit there and point that little light at me.
Listen. No, it's you already know what to do, Jay.
Yeah.
I ain't telling you nothing. You don't already know.
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes having these conversations, right, is why, you know, people go and get help. Mm-hmm. I think having these conversations are why people do seek recovery. I think having these conversations are why people go in and say, you know what, I need to change for me. I have to do this, right? You know, because like I said, like, that's the thing I've learned about people in recovery. People in recovery, they guard it religiously, like fight tooth and nail for it, right? And it's not like they mean any harm, right, when it comes to spouse and kids and stuff like that, but they have to because, again, they're putting their oxygen mask on first because they have to, because they know if they don't, everything else falls by the wayside.
Yeah. Everything is falling by the way. Everything is. So, I guess, I don't know, you always talk about how you don't have it all together. You struggle with things too, but mm-hmm. you know, like we talked offline, like, you know, you kind of like a lot like me in that sense where we come up with different projects. We always willing to help people. We always, you know, investing time, money, and energy into people because we believe in them. You know,
which is one of the highest forms of flattery.
Yeah.
Like, you invest in them because you believe in them.
Yeah. That's fucking real. Yeah. And so how do you balance that? How do you balance, you know, cause people would look at you. Okay. Dominic, he's a strong one. Like, you know, I could talk to him about this. I can hold it that. And you are, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I have so much admiration for you. Like, half time, I don't even reach out to talk to you because I know you're doing so much shit. So I'm like, yo, I just double tap and say a little comment so he can read it, you know, at that point in time. Right. But the thing about it is you exude that on so many different levels and we all see it. So how do you balance being that strong one?
Tears. So when people reach out for help, 9 times out of 10, I'll be like, yes, right? Like, yeah. You know, I'll do that check-in with myself. Like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. But then there's also times where it's like, you know, people reach out for help. And this is not exclusive to outside my familial circle. I mean, this is to Kenda. This is to my kids. This and the other, right? They'll reach out. They'll ask for help. And it's like, okay, I got mental health rewritten over here. I got Black as America over here. Mm-hmm. I got the B word over here. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, April 15 coming up, so tax day almost here.
Oh yeah.
I gotta go, you know, pack for traveling to Chicago. That's over here. So I'll take stock of everything, right? And I'm like, you know what, Jay? I got 10% for you today. I got 10%. I ain't got 70. I ain't got 100. I give you 10% today, right? And I think I learned this from Brene Brown because she talks about this, right? And then, but let's say I ain't got 10%. I have to have that honest conversation. Like, I ain't got it today. Yeah. I these tariffs hidden, my portfolio tanking. I ain't got it today. Yeah. I ain't got it today. And honestly, man, before a lot of this work I was doing was taking off, like it was a lot of those days. There's a lot of those days where it's like, you know, because Kenda would go out into the field and do, you know, some work and this and that. I'll be home and doing the invoices and stuff like that. And something happened. I was, you know, and like AT&T say you behind on the bill. Rocket Mortgage call. Ooh. And I just be like, I just got to wait till Kenda get home. When Kenda gets home, it'll be better. When Kenda gets home, it'll be better. Because being here by myself right now, it ain't good. Yeah. Yeah. It ain't good. So I think it starts with taking stock at that moment, right? Because there's been this podcast group, Empower Podcasting, that I used to be in the clubhouse room faithfully, became a moderator, stuff like that. But when I took on Mental Health Rewritten, I was like, I do not have the capacity to do that anymore, mm-hmm. right? I can come in every so often. But if I'm trying to become what I want to become in podcasting and to have this platform and talk about behavioral health and tell these stories, I have to let this go. Right. And that was not an easy conversation, but it had to happen. So to answer your question, take stock and then give accordingly. If I got it, you got it. If I got a little bit, I'll be honest about the little bit. Let you know this is what it is. But if I ain't got it, just like that $5 you just asked for, I ain't got it. I just ain't got it. But that's how I do it.
No, that's real. I think that's self-awareness to sit there and take stock, to look, like you say.
That's where it starts.
And I don't think you're right, that hustle culture, we don't really take time to take stock. We like, nah, I gotta do this.
Move, grind, hustle.
You're not looking at yourself at all. And like this week with me like going dark to D&D, and I get it because of the struggles that I've had in the past and because of the last 6 months that I experienced, hey. People want a check-in. They want to be like, hey, I just want to make sure that you're not about to hurt yourself. And I get that. And I appreciate that, honestly. But then thereafter, it's like, I still ain't got it. I don't know when. Like, and even if this is like a hustle recovery, because I feel like we're like, okay, well, I'm going to take a day. It didn't take you a day to get to this point. You know what I mean? So you... It's there when it's there. Like you're fine when you're fine. You might, and so because it's not linear. It's not like, okay, I'm gonna take a day and I'm gonna be good to go. No, you might take a day or two, and then you might be able to do like maybe 10% today. You might be able to do 25%. That shit might go back down to 8%. Right. And then you just sit there and just it's ease into it till you get back into it. But that hustle culture has us locked down, even with recovery, even with us trying to take care of ourselves. Everything has to be immediate. Everything has to be like instantaneous.
Man, listen, we live in a country. I'm not going to say in a world. We live in a country where you go down, you know, the cereal aisle and you got instant oatmeal, instant grits, instant whatever. Mm-hmm. On that same aisle, the cereal aisle is usually where you have those things, unless the damn grocery store to move shit all over the place. If they do that. You're like, you know what? I ain't gonna get oatmeal. I ain't gonna get grits. Let me get Cheerios. And then you look at the Cheerios, there's 23 fucking different variations of Cheerios.
Right.
And so it's like, when we have that, we have this access, and that reminds us, like, oh, I can have it all, right? I can have it all. I can do whatever I want, and this, any other. I can have instantaneous. Like, and sometimes you just got to slow down, because sometimes too many options can be paralyzing.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Too many options can be paralyzing, and so, you know, we just have to have that conversation to check in with ourselves. It's like, wait a minute, I am overwhelmed with the choices. Do I really need it at this very moment? Now, if it's like life-saving, whatever, yeah, bring out the paddles. Like, give me the defibrillation, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But do I need this at this moment? If I don't get it at this moment, what's the worst that can happen? Yeah, I said Mental Health Rewritten comes out on May 14th, 2025 on all podcast platforms.
You better do that shit. You better do that shit, boy.
but what if something happens?
Yeah.
What if I release it a week later? Is the world going to collapse? Probably not. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something my wife had to remind me of, because, like, I try to be very disciplined,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's something to be said for discipline, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but you got all this other stuff going on,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And you're tired. I can look at you and see that you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, maybe it can wait. It can wait.
I get that, because even this week, I was like, I got all this shit going on, and I got to put an episode out. And then I had a friend to tell me, what if you didn't put an episode out
this week? Right.
And I was like, well, fuck it. had to be reminded of that. Because and I know, I'm that person, and I know people that like, shit, I ain't put a clip out, you know, this week. I got to put a clip out. Let me go to CapCut and make sure all the stuff is lined up, mm-hmm. and everything. And I'm staying up late at night, and I got to do this. I got to have this episode out. And you're right. There's that fine line between discipline and obsession. You know what I mean? And I feel like I've been leaning towards, if I'm being honest, I feel like I've been leaning towards obsession for like the last couple of months.
And the thing is, like, trying to find that the right, you know, that right balance can be difficult. And sometimes mm-hmm. you have to recalibrate,
yeah.
right? You have to recalibrate. It's why they tell us to restart our computers ever so often, right? Like, you got to recalibrate,
yeah.
right? But, like, it's important to, because what that is what my therapist taught to me is putting your thoughts on trial.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of the biggest things that I think the first time I ever did that was when it was still in the COVID era and the schools were opening back up, and I was nervous about sending my daughter back to school.
Right.
Right. You know, and I was like, what if this? What if that? Like, but well, listen, you know, we're sending her back to the building with people who have like over 10 years of experience in handling and pivoting and stuff like that. She's probably going to be fine. Like, the statistical, like, you know, statistics say that she's probably going to be fine, more than likely. Right. And so sometimes you just got to put those negative thoughts on trial.
Well, yeah, agreed.
And prosecute the hell out of them.
Absolutely. All right. So this has been a great conversation. And we're to that last segment. Oh, absolutely. Like, you always fill me up, man. You know, pause. You know what I mean.
I understand what you mean. It's fine. I know what you mean. It's fine. This feeling the same, brother. I think sometimes we, as men, have to get together and have these sessions and these conversations, because, again, it's like, for some reason, you know, society says we can't have these conversations, or at the very least, they don't say it. But they definitely don't foster these type of conversations, especially for men.
Yeah.
Right. And so, nah, man, we're good.
Yeah. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you being my friend. Like, it means a lot, man. Before I get all bushy and start crying again, hit me up with that last segment. It's about damn time. So what is about damn time for people to start doing to fight that feeling of feeling like they have to be strong all the time?
Check in with yourself. It's about damn time, beyond damn time, past damn time, to check in with yourself on a everyday basis. Right. And not just when things are good. Not just when things are good. You got to check in with yourself. Right. Put those thoughts on trial. Like, why did I respond to Kenda that way? Why did I snap at Zoe that way? Something about that feels off. Right. Why did I stay up an extra 15, 30 minutes to get this reel out? Could I just go on to sleep and just did it in the morning? Right? Like, I think it's about that time to check in with yourself on a routine basis, at least once a day, because it's like maintenance for a car, man. Like, you know, it is bad business to get an oil change every 6 months. Now, unless you're not driving that much or something like that, you know, that's fine or whatever, but you ain't gonna get nothing checked on. You ain't gonna make sure check the tires or nothing. But you know, we have to check in with ourselves, and we have to guard our boundaries. We have to be very assertive. I don't want to say ferocious. We have to be assertive with our boundaries.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, enforce them. We do. Because again, Calvary ain't coming, man. They not. It would be nice for me to have a boundary. Somebody try to encroach upon it. And Kenda comes like, no. He's not doing that. And she does that sometimes.
Yeah.
And she does that sometimes. But even in order for her to do that, I have to have that conversation with her to let her know what those boundaries are. Mm-hmm. Those conversations aren't always easy. Mm-hmm. Check in with yourself. Set the boundaries. Have the hard conversations, not disrespectful conversations, the hard conversations. And the hard conversations, not just to tell somebody off, but sometimes they're going to make you feel icky too.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes those hard conversations are internal. Like, you know what? Maybe starting this new project isn't the best way to go. But if you are going to start a new project, Dominic, what else do you need to let go? Mm-hmm. Right? So it's about damn time for us to have, it's about damn time for us to check in with ourselves.
I love it. I love it. I will start taking inventory today based on this conversation. So I appreciate it. Dominic, man, tell them everything about what's going on with you, and tell them where they can find you. Promote the show. Let's get it, man.
Absolutely. So again, just want to say, Jay, thank you so much for having me on the program, on the platform. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be on your platform and to talk about these things. You can find me at Dominic Lawson on LinkedIn, The Real Dominic Lawson on Instagram. Also, please check out my brand new show that'll be launching May 14th, Mental Health Rewritten, where we have these conversations and we have the honest and hard conversations about behavioral health and mental health and stuff like that. One of the things that we're doing is having what I like to call the 3-12 format. And so in season one, you're going to have 12 episodes, but are going to be three different topic tracks. Almost like you're going to a conference almost, right? Mm. Three different topic tracks. And so the topic tracks for season one involve sex, suicide, and cultural identity. And so, and we start episode one, season one, episode one with sex addiction. We're going to jump right off into that world and what that means and what it looks like. And also explaining that it's a real thing, believe it or not, Jared, man, some people don't think it's a real thing, but it's
true.
It very much is. It's like anything that disrupts your way to function in life can be a problem. It can be a processing disorder. And so we're going to talk about that. So Mental Health Rewritten on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know, all the things, YouTube. And one of the cool things we're doing, while it is a audio platform primarily. There is a video element. So, you go to Mental Health Rewritten on Instagram and you'll see some reels and stuff like that. But a lot of those reels are going to be exclusive to the platforms, right? So some of that content won't even be on the podcast. So it'll be exclusive to the social media platform. So I'm really excited about it. Doing a really heavy launch campaign, even thinking about doing some Times Square ads in New York for it and stuff like that. Listen, man, we're trying to go big.
I see. You've been on a whirlwind tour, so you've been remote this for a while. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it when it comes out. I'm gonna be all ears, ready to listen.
I appreciate it. It's a year in the making. So just working on it. But that's the latest project. But also currently, the latest season of Black is America is out now. With two episodes. Also, the B Word full season one is out there with my wife Kendall Lawson. Both of those shows, two Ambie nominated shows, by the way, that we're really proud of. But that's what I got going on,
dude. I don't even know how you do it. Like I'm over here. I'm over here barely holding it together for this about damn time, and you got all this stuff going on, man. Like. Once again, I want to be like you when I grow up. So I'm working on it.
Now you're already there, man. You're already there.
You said it every time. But this time I'm gonna receive it. This time. I ain't doing my phone, but this time I'm gonna receive it. Thank you for being a part of this about damn time this week.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me this week on this about damn time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.